Coming to you live from the CRS San Francisco office, it's the 10 Point Podcast. My name is Bruce, and discovering the object of this podcast is the object of this podcast. Admit to yourself, that sounds intriguing. We're kind of like an experiential Book of the Month club here. And what do you get for the podcast that has everything? You get these two men. First, he's not wearing any underwear, it's Andy.
I've got pants on.
He's not a fan of it for that, actually. My jammy's on.
That is jamming, so fair enough then. And secondly, it says a Mr. Seymour Butts here. Oh, it's Chris. Chris is also on the podcast with us this week.
Also go by Hugh Jazz.
Huge jazz as well. We are the 10 Point Podcast. We come to you live from certain locations each and every week. I realize that at this point we should probably say it's maybe not going to be your typical necessarily 7 days in between each podcast
No.
because we've had a hell of a
There are
time
lines.
scheduling. Yes,
There are
scheduling has been poor. But
a
yeah,
whole.
we're trying one a week, maybe seems to be kind of where we're going to go. One a week, we review movies over here.
All
You can
right, people
find
just give
us.
us more money. We just can quit our jobs and we can do these daily. Right,
Exactly. Our inbox is filling up with messages from people
we've
these days.
got a review. I've got another one, by the way.
And I'll see, there we go. People are reaching out to us, so we're more and more
Stop
demand.
reaching out with shit films.
Right, fair enough. Yeah. Yes, 10pointpodcast.com is our website. You can email us over there at 10point. Well, find the website, click on the contact us. Contact us, reviews, sponsorship, interview
And then we'll slag it
situations.
off like we did
Yeah.
the last request.
And we'll sneer at every single one because it's not something we're interested in. Contact us, Twitter, Facebook as well. They exist, 10 Point Podcast. Use all letters, not the number 10, all letters, 10 Point Podcast over there. Spotify, you can listen to us, watch video versions over there too. The 10 Point Broadcast is on YouTube. You can watch video versions of all the episodes over there as well. 10 Point Podcast, that's us. Google it or 10pointpodcast.com, you'll find us. But on to the highlights of the last week before we get on to the main reason for the podcast. Chris, I'm excited to start off with you. So what was your highlight of the last week?
I've got a few more episodes of Life's Too Short. It's fucking hilarious. Yes. There's one of them, obviously it's like 10 years late, so it's not a spoiler alert. He gets a new washing machine and swaps it with his old one, but ends up bending his new one. And I don't know whether it was an accident or if it was meant to happen, but he trips over a pallet lifter and it's fucking hilarious. Just little things like that are killing me through this series. So I've got two, I think two more episodes to go, and I can't fault it. It's hilarious. And
Is it
probably
two seasons of it?
there's one
I can't
season
remember.
and then like a special.
Right, okay. No. Right. Not quite the same as his other ones, Gervais, and usually just two in a special, doesn't
I can't fault it. It's hilarious.
he? Sometimes that's all you need. Is that your main highlight of the week then, Chris? Is it?
I'm sure it's going to come later on, but
Carry on from there. Andy couldn't remember, so I'll give him more time to think. And I'll say I've now caught up with What We Do in the Shadows, the American series version of it. And I don't know if I love it, but I really like it. It's a really good show. I think every single season, there's 10 episodes in each one, I think. And every season has that one episode where I'm a bit like, a bit eye-rolly, a bit kind of, oh, God's sake. But then they get past it. And every season kind of has an overarching kind of story that kind of pays off in the last couple of episodes. It always makes me quite into it. And it's hilarious. And Matt Berry, just the way he says things, cracks me up no end. So What We Do in the Shadows, they're making a sixth season, I think, at the moment. It's coming out this year, I think. So there is a sixth season that's going to end the whole thing. But What We Do in the Shadows, the television series, very good. And I very much like it. And I've started referencing in everyday life now, saying bits and pieces of things from it. So that means it's worked for me. Andy, what was your highlight of the week?
Halo.
Ah.
So we've been banging about Halo all this season, and obviously me and Chris have got her issues with Halo up and down, up and down. It doesn't follow the game, they do new things, and it follows the game, then they don't, then they do new things, and then he's naked half the time. However, the last episodes of season two, they brought it back. Shit.
Good.
So yeah. If you don't know Halo at all, I guarantee anybody will love this series. It's a fucking
Okay.
brilliant series. It's a little bit
Good.
sci-fi, but it's like drama, it's action, it's thriller. They do it right. But if you're like Chris, a hardcore Halo fan,
Yeah.
he gets his knickers in a twist over anything. I don't. But it, like from my point of view, kind of like limbo in between both, this episode is exactly what everybody wants, and they nail it perfectly.
You say that was a season finale, did you say
that? Was
that?
a season finale, so I'm praying to God they get season three, because we're fucked if not.
Could be the series finale, we don't know.
Right, okay. So we don't know yet, but
Yes.
I don't know. Is it the main selling point worldwide for Paramount Plus? Is it only on Paramount Plus around the
Yeah, it
world?
is,
Or
right.
right, okay, so
Like I
it's
said,
hard to tell.
the thing is, like Paul Schreiber is fucking amazing as Master Chief, and like all the characters are good except from one.
There's a lot of little nods as well.
Aye.
Like, if you play the games, you'll be watching it and be like, I remember that. You'll be going like full Leo, like, oh.
Yeah. But I
Right,
generally think your
okay.
best viewing is for somebody just to watch it. Don't give a shit about the games. It is a game.
Yeah.
Don't give a fuck about it. Watch it, and I guarantee any even lay sci-fi five, if you like good telly, it's a fucking great TV show. So
There you go.
they brought it back, but for a gamer, it's finally the episode's there.
Yes.
They finally do what the title says. We finally reached it.
Oh, are we? Right, okay. So this is make or
Different
break
two
time.
seasons, but we're there. Spoilers.
Yeah, make or break time. Maybe that's how they did it. It's like, oh, we'll get like 4 seasons out of it if we just have 2 seasons that we don't use at Halo at all. Like, imagine they
After
had just
they've
got
been
cancelled there and
working
never got
for
to it.
ages. In the first game, literally, within about 10 seconds, you're on a fucking Halo. You've got half a
Stopped.
level, and then you're on the fucking Halo. That's where we're at. That's the game. It's like, we're sorted.
Yeah.
Two fucking seasons. About 15 hours of my life to get onto the motherfucker.
You got there. Okay, speaking of games, we better move on to point number one on the 10-point
Hey.
podcast. And the point of the podcast this week is the 1997 psychological conspiracy suspense mystery drama thriller, The Game. I'm loving these new IMDb tags. These are sensational.
The
That's him
game.
behind there. Written by the team of John Brancato and Michael Ferris. And they are famous for writing such things as The Net, The Game, Terminator 3, Catwoman, the Halle Berry version, and in Terminator Salvation as well,
Well, check me
which is
out.
a legendary film on this podcast that we've yet to review. And then Surrogates is the last famous thing, which I'm not so aware of. But yeah, see the two Terminator movies sandwiched with Catwoman sandwiched in the middle. So there's a run for you. And the film directed by David Fincher. And this is the fourth David Fincher film we have done on the podcast. Only two selected by me. So Alien 3.
I'm dealing three. Oh, yeah.
Alien 3 was him. Added 7 was the random wheel. The Game was me. And then Gone Girl. The first three, Alien, 7, and The Game, are his first three films he directed. Gone Girl a bit later. But things to come at some point, presumably. Fight Club, Panic Room, Zodiac, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, The Social Network, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Mank, and then The Killer, which I watched recently. I rated about, raved about. So they are, that's literally all the films he has directed there. And quite a lot of them are big, quite a lot of them are good. And we have done four of them. So I won't go too far into the Fincher. Starring our main three cast members here as Nicholas Van Orton, Michael Douglas, who we have covered on the podcast before. That'll come up, I'm sure, in 10-point podcast universe later on. What are the four
He's
roles,
cheating.
four films that Michael Douglas is famous for? Get a couple of
Ant-Man.
guesses and I'll hit. No, none of the Ant-Men.
Basic Instinct.
No, neither. Or
What?
not that one. I know. To me,
And
that's who he is.
tremendous stuff. Wolf
I
Street.
know. Wolf Street? Do you
Wolf
mean Wall
Street?
Street?
Wolf Street.
The Wolf of Wall Street, the Wall of Wolf
Wolf Street.
Street. Yeah, it's just Wall Street on its own, and he was in the sequel as well. One more guess. What's Douglas famous for?
What's that one with Demi Moore? Dangerous Liaisons.
That is not one of the four either. Romancing the Stone, Fatal Attraction, Wall Street, and Behind the Candelabra, which I do not link him with at all. But he did
That's
Fatal
awful.
Attraction, Wall Street back to back in
IMDb is
87.
like meant to be like famous for like money wise.
Oh, it's just famous for it. Really, it should be what they're most famous for. As in,
Ant-Man.
when you see that person's name or face, what do you think of? And for me, it's not Romancing the Stone and it's not Behind the Candelabra. But I could argue otherwise.
Yes.
Yeah. Second on the cast list as Christine, I forget what her real name was, Deborah Kara Unger is the actress's name.
Name.
I won't do the famous four game with her because good luck to you naming something she was in.
I know one thing she's in.
Okay, well, what was that, Chris? Tell us.
Oh, hell. Shit.
Silent Hill, you are right, of course. Temple Podcast Universe. That'll
This
come up
is
later
Silent
on.
Hill.
That is one of her famous roles as well. She
She's
played
moving again.
Dahlia.
No, person. No, she's the mum.
Yeah, Dahlia Gillespie, the mother of the demon kid, or whatever you want to call it. Yes, she was in that. Other famous roles: Highlander 3, The Sorcerer,
Oh, that's dumb.
Trash. And then she was in The Game, then Payback. which the Mel Gibson movie should have been that. 13, but not the one with ghosts in it, a different film called 13. And then recently she was in something called The Way, nothing to do with Star Wars. However, she was in Star Wars The Old Republic video games, like four or five things that are Star Wars The Old Republic.
Voice them, take it. Which
voice actress. I don't think it was anything that jumped out. I'll have a quick look to see if I can find it. But I think voices. It was like... Yeah, it wasn't quite that. Although one of them was additional. Scorpio, apparently,
Scorpio.
Seems to have, Scorpio seems to have been the main role that she played.
Best character.
Yeah. I can't give you any more on that. But yeah, it's like five different Star Wars The Old Republic credits to her name. And the third person, as Conrad Van Orton, Sean Penn. Can you name me Sean Penn's famous roles? I have the four
Friends.
Here plus...
Yeah.
What did you say, sorry?
One episode of Friends.
And one episode of Friends, yeah. It wasn't, but he was in that.
Fuck, what's the gay one? Milk.
Milk, you are correct. That is one of his most famous roles. Did he win an Oscar for that? I think he won the Oscar for that. Not nominated for it, I think.
Like gangster film.
He was in Gangster Squad, and I've seen that film. It's one of the few Sean Penn films I've actually seen, but yeah, that's not one of the ones he is famous for. Any more guesses? It's not The Game, I'll tell you that much. Nah. Yeah. Okay, so famous Sean Penn roles. Fast Times at Ridgemont High was his major sort of start. I think Carlito's Way was a big role for him back in the day. Dead Man Walking, something that gives a name to an award on this podcast, but not one that we've done. Thin Red Line, I Am Sam is another famous role of his. And then he went Mystic River, 21 Grams and Milk back to back to back. They are famous roles for him. Gangster Squad, and recently was in Licorice Pizza, was a successful film recently that he was in.
Oh. He died.
His brother died. Oh, aye.
His brother did die, Chris Penn. He was in Reservoir Dogs, Chris Penn. They are our main three cast members, and really there's not much in the way of repeated characters beyond those three, so we'll just move on to the budget for the film. $50 million, although I've seen higher numbers reported, and I'm not really sure how they spent $50 million, never mind higher numbers on this film.
Oh, actors pay.
Yeah, I guess it was that, yeah. It opened in the North America first weekend, $14 million. Final North American gross, $48 million. Final worldwide, $109 million. So actually doubled its money, kind of, one way or another, depending on how much you believe the budget. But I think it made profit. Released 12th September 1997 in the US, a month later on the 10th of October in the UK, meant it qualified nicely for the 1998 awards season. And it was nominated for one single award, period.
I remember that was the Godzilla washout that season, that year.
Yeah, everybody went Godzilla mad that year, won everything at the Oscars. The only award nomination the game got was at the 1998 Saturn Awards. Woo! They always come through. Best action / adventure / thriller film. A nice set of nominees there were, It lost to L.A. Confidential, was the winner of the best, I guess, thriller that would have been at that.
Indiana Jones? No.
It's a lot of people. I don't think it's Catherine Zeta-Jones. Kim Basinger, I think, is on the poster, so I think she might be the famous female role in it. But yeah, L.A. Confidential was the winner. And that's it. There's no more discussion over awards. The game didn't get nominated for anything else in 1998. Synopsis. Well, he might have won a Slammy. Yeah, he might have won a Slammy. Synopsis for the game brought to us by Anonymous. Every single review of this was anonymous that I could find.
Nobody wants to put their name to.
Exactly. Michael
Douglas.
Yeah, we should put ours up on there, shouldn't we? Michael Douglas plays Nicholas Van Orton, a Scrooge-like San Francisco investment banker following in his father's Scrooge-like footsteps. On Nicholas's 48th birthday, the age at which his father committed suicide, his younger, free-spirited brother Conrad blows into town and gives Nicholas a special gift for the man who has everything, a ticket to CRS, Consumer Recreation Services, a company that, that's just all the first sentence, sorry, second sentence of this, a company that constructs games custom fit for each participant to provide. As CRS salesman Jim Feingold cryptically puts it, whatever is lacking. Nicholas's secure life begins a downhill slide as CRS masterminds a series of elaborate pranks, harmless at first, that quickly become malicious and life-threatening. Stripped of financial resources and convinced that he can trust no one, Nicholas begins to wonder if CRS is a front for a more covert operation, and if the game, said the thing, is in fact an attempt to steal his fortune and leave him for dead. Determined to fight back alone, Nicholas infiltrates CRS in order to pull back the curtain and meet the wizard. Even mentioned the Wizard of Oz in the synopsis there.
We're not laughing at your synopsis, we're laughing at your t-shirt. Because when you hit the right spot, it says porn.
Does it? Oh, I see. With the way porn.
Porn to ride. Or something like that. It looks like a getter. Porn to hell.
Who picked? That's it was I.
One for our video peoples.
Yeah. It was me what picked the game. I had seen this once before. It very much fits my theme. And I thought it's an interesting film for us to do. I thought it's not very well known. And I thought, let's get it out there. Let's have at least one of you guys not have seen it before. Luckily, Chris had not seen it before. Spoiler for the next question I'm about to ask. So that's why I wanted, but it very much fits my theme. And my movies are meant to be a bit of an eclectic mix. So I needed a bit of a thriller like this sort of thing in there. Had you seen it before, guys, Chris?
Absolutely not. Never even heard of it.
Andy?
I don't think I've ever seen the star, so I didn't know what the fuck was going on. But there was one part of this film that I remember vividly from that point all the way through.
Right, yeah.
I missed the setup of that it was a present.
Right, okay. The whole time you thought there was just... This guy is like, yeah, people aren't to get him, and he doesn't know why. Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I've ever seen it from the start. It must have been like Channel 4 or something like that, going back old school or picking our ITV. And I definitely missed the first half hour. But I vividly remember like Mexico and shit like that. Like, there's just big chunks of this film that I just like, oh yeah. And then the end, I remember the end perfectly.
It's weird to think that there'll be a certain point in time that we've kind of exposed it on this podcast. I guess maybe like, what, 2010-ish, where up to that point, there are a lot of films that we've seen that we didn't see the first 20 minutes of because we've just turned it on a television channel. Yeah, thought, oh, exactly. I'll sit and watch this. But then when on-demand kind of became like everywhere, you now only see the beginning of things and fall asleep and miss the end. So it's a real weird sort of, I don't know, dynamic with an older film.
I definitely missed the entire like base up to the point where like he's got the thing. But I knew how it happened.
Obviously,
very early. But yeah, I think like up to his like psych exam and these thingy, I have no idea.
Right. Okay. So there we go. I'd only seen it once before because I'd heard about it. I thought that sounds interesting, and I watched it, and I've sat on it for a couple of years, and I've put it on the podcast. I think I might have watched it during the time we've done the podcast. Now I think
you're doing
it.
So your fucking marathon.
Maybe actually, maybe if you go back into season 3, I'll have mentioned, oh, what's this film called? The Game. It was very good, or whatever it is. I said, I don't know. Which version did we watch? There's an alternate ending where he just walks off at the end. He doesn't bother going to the taxi with Christine. But other than that, that was never released. So we all watched the same one besides. He
walks off and that's it.
Yeah, I think like, it gets to the end of the party. He jumps in, surprise. And then, all right, see you later. And he just walks off in the distance. He doesn't bother going into a taxi, I think. So that's the alternate ending. Point two on the podcast is the high point. So we thought the best bits, things, etc. in the film were. Whoever picks takes us through it. So I will lead off. And I have nothing prior to Nick arriving at CRS for the interview.
So move on to the next point then.
yes, him arriving at the interview with the golden ticket to enter the chocolate factory is a good bit.
I love the concept of this thing and how it plays out. Like, I don't like Sean Penn at the start of this film. Like, he's a low point in this film, to be fair. However, when he does this whole, like, he goes through, he's doing his medical and all that, it's like, what the fuck is this that he's got into? It's just like, it's a brilliant whole setup to what they're about to do.
It's also the first scene that we get James Rebhorn in this film.
What's he famous for? Because he's like...
He has one of them faces.
He's super famous for something, though, isn't he?
I would say he's not. I would say he just shows up in everything. He's one of those people, I think. Let's see. I can't get his famous for on here.
I know him from something.
Independence Day. That might be what you know from. Aye. And then The Game, Talented Mr. Ripley, and then Scent of a Woman.
Independence Day. I remember him being like a medical lab coat dude. And who did I fuck think what he was? And I was like, yeah, it's Independence Day. That's him.
He's always like... I don't know, minion number two in things. He's always just there's the boss, the baddie, the rich guy. He's always just next to him in scenes, and then he has one or two scenes where he talks a lot. It's just that kind of actor. But Independence Day might be the one.
Brent Spiner thing. That's what I'm thinking.
That's him, I think. Yeah. So yeah, we get lots of James Redhorn at this point, and the interview is sensational. With them sitting down,
and also him was a way of breaking them. I thought it was like the game had started, but as soon as you walked in, and they're just going to break you, and then kind of build you back up.
On reflection, the game is literally when he arrives and gives the ticket, isn't it? Because I think because he's like at that point he's an actor, James Redhorn. He is like his role within the film is an actor hired to play a part, and the part he's been hired to play is welcome to CRS. Let's go through the interview process.
I'm under the belief of watching this for like the first time. This part that yes, he is an actor. However, he's seeing how much they can push him.
Right. Like, okay.
They're doing like as a medical. Like, and he's just seeing, like, right, how do we break this cunt?
Because right away, as soon as he walks through the door, the lady's like, I'm on the phone, you can just wait. So they're already, like, getting his back on, like, oh, fucking hell. And then he's eating Chinese, being quite rude, and like, oh, I just fell out, blah, blah, blah. You've got a couple of questions to answer. I'll take you 20 minutes tops. He's there for three hours, so...
It's like an hour for an hour for the form and an hour for the tests, and he's there like I don't know, at least 3 hours, 4 hours later. Yeah.
The whole point is to get his back up through the whole thing and just be like, oh my god, I hate this thing so much.
I think this is the surveillance part where they're finding out where they can push his buttons.
But that's the thing as well. So yeah, they do actually learn about him as well, because otherwise it's just Sean Penn saying, "Can you do my brother?"
Yeah.
So he has to come in, they have to ask him the questions and get these answers in order to design the game. Because this is on reflection, I thought, is that when it started? Is when he walks in? But when we're watching it first time through, my belief is at, where do I have it? The 24-minute mark, he gets the phone call in the office and it says, I'm sorry, but your application has been rejected. And I thought, that's when the game starts, because that's when weird stuff starts to happen afterwards. As in, basically, we're telling you it's been rejected, but this is actually the first thing. It's like, aha, you, this big, rich, clever guy, you don't get in, so therefore this is going to, like you say, get his back up. And so I thought that's when the game started, but I don't know, I thought it might be earlier because of the people who kind of were involved. So it's tough to tell, I think, even now, thinking about it.
After you got rejected, he went on a flight, didn't he?
And he was...
And you just see random folk. And it's from there, I'm just like, he's involved. That's him, he's involved.
The scene with the rattle, where it has the... You had the clown at that point, because that's when the rattle showed up.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
It goes home from the office, yeah. That's a wee bit later. It's a wee bit later. But definitely, like, he gets a phone call, sorry, you've been rejected, and then he gets home, and there's a clown outside the house. So the game has started definitely at that point.
That's like the whole news anchor thing, like, as he's talking away, like, he goes to point it, and you see the news anchor, like, move it away. He's like, don't touch it.
Yeah. I really like the scene with the guy in the news.
Breaking stuff.
Yeah. The guy with the newsreader talking to him is a really good scene. With it being all kind of jittery and as if the satellite is cutting in and out and all that sort of stuff. But yeah. And then, I don't know, is it meant to be a twist where he's like, oh, how is there a camera in my house? And he's like, we didn't put any cameras in your house, but there's a camera in here and all that. It's like the whole time I'm like, well, it's the clown that you just brought in.
He's like, the camera's there. I'm going to walk over here.
Yeah, but you know what it's like, sometimes you do that when you're looking at yourself on camera, you're like, oh, I've got something over here, and you put the wrong hand up.
I thought you do the hand part, like, okay, so it's over this side.
Any other high points, or am I just keeping going because I've got a few?
Not really a high point, but like we've been saying, I thought the whole point of the game was just to ruin him and like take his money and like break him down to the point where he turns against his friends, he turns against his family and stuff like that, and just like break him, basically.
Yeah, it seems like it. Like, I do have one of my low points is what the point of the game is. So we can stick a pin in this if you want, and we can debate low points.
I like the idea of it. I like
undoubtedly.
You don't know what's going on. This is like my kind of overall high point. It's like it keeps you guessing, but then you think, yeah, she's 100% part of the game. That's 100% part of the game. And it's like, well, that's like, no, here's the twist coming, then the twist doesn't come. Like, I like the way it does well is that you have no
Yeah.
idea what's coming up.
The I talk about it a little bit in movies and movies, but when it starts to become Total Recall is when it starts to get a bit more interesting, where it's
Yeah.
like, I am with CRS, but
Trust
I'm
nobody.
trying to help you get away from CRS. So then you're at the point now where, is this still part of the game, or is she actually trying to help him get out of the game? And that's when the movie starts to be a bit more exciting, I think might be the right word. It's a bit of a puzzle, a bit of a mystery, and it's like, okay, now there's stakes now. He might be getting rinsed of his money because the company's trying to steal from him, but the whole time, is this the game still working in the background?
It was in the cabin when she'd be nice, oh, I'll make you coffee, and then, oh, is it your lawyer? Yeah, he's taking your money, he's involved, he's got this thing. And he kind of said, wait, I'm so confused. And he starts to like thinking about it, and he's like, I knew 5 mil you'd fucking drugged him.
Yeah. By that point, we don't know if she's involved or fighting
That's
against the system
where
as
I'm
well.
kind of like getting confused now. I'm just like, is she like talking shit?
Yeah.
Is she actually with them? And
There is
then
a point where it's like every 2 minutes, you're like, oh, it is. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, it is. Oh, no, it's not. And it
is
keeps
the game
bouncing back and
actually real, or are they actually
forth.
just trying to fleece people at the money, which is
It's
why
like you see,
so poor?
even the point where he phones up to be like, where's all my money? And they're like, you have none. And she's like, oh no, we're all in all phones. It's always us you're speaking to. So he phones the lawyer. Oh yeah, it's all there. And it's like, well, now you know further forward. You just had one person say it is and one person say it's not. Like, you don't actually know. Very good at that point. I've got a high point here. And it's a high point, literally, because it's my prevailing memory of the film. Like, I watched this probably 2, 3 years ago. And the one thing I remember this film is him walking into the house with White Rabbit playing really loudly and graffiti all over it. And it's not a great scene, but it's a cool set and it's a cool bit of music because I think the rest of the film is basically just piano. And there's this one scene with White Rabbit, which obviously has connotations of like follow the White Rabbit, you're in a mystery puzzle, you've got to get through this adventure to get to the end, Alice in Wonderland style. But just this one vivid colors, vivid loud music scene has just stuck in my head since the last 3 years. And it's like, there's something good going on here. I can't put my finger on it, but I like this scene. And then Conrad shows up and we get him in the car going crazy at him.
The scene that I always remember this film, like the one time, like when you said this film, it was Michael Douglas in a casket punching
Oh.
around New Mexico. That's literally where I remember this film from.
Which
I
is
don't know why.
so. It's so different from the rest of it. Maybe that's why, because it's so bright. Everything's dark. And then he's got a white suit on, and it's Mexico. And for some reason, Mexico always looks bright white or yellow. It's always that color in Mexico. And it's so vividly different. So maybe that's the
I
bit.
didn't
Also,
expect
it's.
it at all. I didn't expect him to. After you get drugged, I don't expect to see him wake up in Mexico and then struggle for the next, I don't know, 5, 10 minutes. So I thought that was it. He's fucked.
Yeah. And then I thought the whole thing was, oh, he's not going to sell the watch. So how the hell is he going to do it? Cut to the next scene. Oh, I sold the watch. All right, I thought he was doing it.
I thought he was like, this is a little, maybe a low point. I don't know. I thought he was going to you just see him go back to Mexico and buy it. I don't know, for like twice the amount of money that the school
Ah,
used.
yeah.
But do you think he followed the rules of hitchhiking? There is a rule of rules.
Did he hitchhike? I can't remember. Did he actually hit a
You got
hitchhike?
a lift for
Yeah,
that.
he did.
Glory.
He's like, I've got $18.
CID
Who could take me? That was it, wasn't it? And then he got a bus at one point, didn't he? So,
pass.
Crazy Taxi with Tommy Flanagan. Can I pitch that as a high point?
Out of nowhere. See,
Yeah.
I saw that coming because I remember
You expect Tommy Flanagan to turn.
not Tommy Flanagan, but I expected the taxi because the guy showed you pictures, he's like, whoops. And he showed you other pictures, and you're like, I can't remember what it is. And I was reading some of the stuff he was signing off on. And I was like, what would you do if there was an accident?
Right,
I
okay.
remember the taxi flying off the cliff. So as soon as you're in a taxi, I was just like, he's flying in the water. So I
Right,
expected.
okay. Ah, well, there you go. So Chris saw that one coming. It's a good scene though, with all of a sudden the maniac. It's fun because he goes crazy because it's crazy Tommy Flanagan and he can't play a straight-laced character in any film. But then he just really jumps out of the car and is just cackling as this Like a, no driverless taxi is just going down a San Francisco hill is a great scene.
What's with the Sons of Anarchy cast in this film?
I know. Yeah. Is there what is there at least two? Him and Mark Boone Jr. At least.
Yeah,
is there
that's
another
what
one?
I mean to,
Yeah. And the two. They show up in David Fincher things. I think that's why the two of them maybe that they
oh,
know
shit,
each other well.
son. And something. My next one's him getting back to like CRS. I just see everybody he's seen through the whole thing just sitting there just having coffees and eating a lunch and all that, and then just the realization of, oh fuck, he's back.
It's a mind blower of a scene. Like, I imagine the first time round, you'd just, like that's it. That there's the movie in a nutshell. There, it's like literally, here's everybody who's been in the film, and you're like, oh my God, the whole thing from the get go. Even the two old guys who were like, oh yeah, we've done it before. It's a good time, which was way before. I think that was before I'm getting the phone call. I'm positive that's before I'm getting the phone call, and they were never in it again. Man, they were in the game, which means the game starts before the phone call, so we're back to that bit again. It's like, oh my God, this whole thing is a scam. And there's like just randomly Tommy Flanagan sitting talking to like the Christine at the same table. It's like how separate they are to put them together.
There until the big twist.
Until they heather off the roof, as I've put
I
it in my
was
notes.
so confused. I'm like, what is it real? Is it not? What is happening? And then her, like the main, my main high point is her freaking out over the gun. Just her like,
Well,
where'd you find that gun?
this is the high point of the film, is this twist of twists.
Yeah.
It's the roof, yes.
Yeah.
The roof of
Where'd
this
you
hotel.
find that?
The
Reached the
roof.
actual house is real, was it not real?
The roof is this. This is the film's highlight, like high point.
You feel like this scene on paper is why this film got made, basically.
Yes.
Which is, has it all been a setup into this canteen? Yes, it has been a canteen. I'm gonna kill you. And then it's like someone shoots, like the security came in and fire a whole bunch of bullets, so he runs away. It's like this could still be the game because of shooting, but also he's in there with a gun, and then like you say, her freaking out with the
I'm
he's
supposed to
got a
run him
real
without a
gun.
chainsaw. What? He's just
What?
grabbing the chainsaw. He's coming through the door.
Oh yeah, well they're
Oh.
about to pull that door down. They're having a party for you, which is the
I
truth.
have
They're having a
to.
party. They
Why
better
would
bring
you
that door
smell?
down.
That's what it sounded like. It's like she's
Yeah,
freaking out. And he has a chainsaw cutting through.
it's
So
like a
he knew
mail
what they were
cutter,
cutting through.
yeah. And then it
I.
falls down, and
Yeah.
you're like, it is all a game. It's
If it
like,
ended with him, spoils, shooting his brother and taking a header off the thing. And stopped. What an ending that would have been, by the way.
yeah.
I can't remember what an ending right there.
I know that's a great ending. It's like, oh my God, again, I'm sitting watching it for the second time, not really remembering which way it goes because it bounces like backwards and forwards. And I'm like, oh, wait, it's the point of this film that he did fall for it and he's just killed his brother.
He
And
keeps
it's like,
walking as his brother's dead. Be like, you never let the mark take control. How did you let it get so bad? And you're like, ah, it's gone wrong here. Stopped it big time.
they're
Big
not that
spoilers. Like it's all a game.
all a game again. He's managed to kill himself off the roof, and here it is everybody who's at his birthday party downstairs in the
Can you
final
imagine being the
reveal.
guys there going like, fucking hell, he's suicidal, this guy, and then he's like, wait a minute, he's got a gun. He just at any moment he can just snap and kill us all. Like, I don't know,
Yeah.
right?
I'll be honest, I didn't know where the gun came from, so I didn't know if it was a real or fake gun. Like, I couldn't recall where he picked up that revolver
From
from.
the taxi
When
dude. When he got back to his house, he climbed up the thing. He took the book down. He had it.
Right. I remember
Oh,
it being in the book, but I didn't know where it had come from. Did it come with the book? That was, I couldn't work out if it had been, could it possibly have been planted or could it possibly have been missed? I didn't know. So I'm like, is it a real gun? I can't remember. Yes. Very good ending. And then a small high point is James Rebhorn coming back in at the end and being like, if you didn't throw yourself off, I was supposed to push you off, which is a good little bit as well, pulling back over the curtain. Any more high points?
Nope, done.
On to point three, the low points, the worst bits and things about this film. Let's have Andy have his say first before we go too much into this. I feel like Andy's sitting on some low
Right,
points here.
there is one ultimate low, stupid high point throughout this entire film that, spoiler for the scoring, every time it comes up, it loses a point.
Right, okay.
The fucking piano music. Oh my
Yeah.
God, yes, there we go.
Yeah.
Because, oh my God, I've never heard a score. I think this could be the worst score in cinematic history.
You, it's not great. I don't know. I mean, there's probably
I
some worse
don't know,
ones, but
but there's bits of
it's
this film that are really, really good, ruined by a fucking piano score, like when they're running away. And then the piano, like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, shut up. This is a pivotal scene. And I am getting fucked over by a piano.
So, it's like the film is 2 hours long and it has White Rabbit in it for about a minute and a half. And the rest of it is, it's just like plink, diplonk.
It's awful.
Plinkety plinkety plonk, plinkety plonk, and it's just that. And then, like, it gets a wee more plinkety plinkety plinkety.
What's find that? The composer right now.
Right, I'll do it.
Because
any more low points while
this guy, I'm hoping, has done nothing else of significance and has been fired from Hollywood.
Could you imagine if he was the main guy from Star Wars?
Well, it's not fucking.
It's not John Williams. Yeah. I found music by. I'm going to go a bit further down and to see if there's anything specific, but I think. Music by
this is my ultimate like low point, and it takes me out of the film every single time the piano plays.
It doesn't fit.
No,
no.
Like Chantel put it perfectly. It's like when things are happening, it's like a B movie. It's like they don't have a budget for music, and it really just brings a big budget film down or a great idea or a film down because of one. It's like when you put bad CGI in a film. If you can't CGI right, don't do it. Blade made that mistake. That blood drop.
It was literally one scene. It doesn't ruin the entire film.
No, I almost did.
I found who it is.
That opening scene of him as a kid, that was brutal as well.
Oh, I know. It's a dramatic start.
Howard Shore. I'm like, right. I know that name.
Is he being fired?
I know that name. I don't know why.
Things that he has been the composer for. So he was like head of music, but music by for this film.
Right, because this guy's been fired.
Composer, Scanners, Video... This is selected, by the way.
Right.
Scanners, Videodrome, The Fly, Big, Silence of the Lambs, Sliver, I recognise that, Mrs. Doubtfire, Philadelphia, Ed Wood, Seven, Crash, which was mentioned, Copland, and then The Game, Since The Game, Dogma...
What? fuck off, was he?
High Fidelity.
Something you loved.
I'll miss that and come back to that. Panic Room, Gangs of New York, The Aviator, The Departed, and
a banging CV.
Hugo, and a couple of others. Right. But I missed that. Spotlight.
Crack here. He's on crack.
Maybe I've missed out some key ones that I need to go back to. There's another. Is it six? Yeah, six films that he was the composer for. The Fellowship of the Ring, The Two Towers, The Return of the King, and then the Three Hobbit movies. He also
did the music. What happened to him? Right, okay. This man was on some serious drugs when he did this film. Because you mentioned Dogma, and Lord of the Rings has got one of the best epic soundtracks in the world. Like,
and you recognize the name Howard Shore from somewhere.
Now you said it, and that's exactly what he's famous for. This man was on serious crack when he did this.
He's an experiment phase.
He was doing something. Because
'90s.
Like, I was going to kill this guy. Like, I hope he didn't have a Hollywood career, but okay, I'll give him Lord of the Rings. He semi-redeemed himself because that's a banging tune.
And you can see why David Fincher moved on to Trent Reznor for doing his music for basically every film he made after this, and he gets a lot of plaudits for the soundtracks.
Definitely his experimental years.
Yeah, definitely. Right, low points then. Running away. At one point, they're running away, him and Christine, they're running away from a dog. Mm. And then they go into the CRS building when it's shut. And then he leaves that building. It's like, oh, damn, we're actually in the CRS building here. Let's escape and get out of here. Like, was that not the exact place you wanted to be at this point? Is to go and explore, and then like there's police and security chasing after and all that. I could not work out his reasoning for wanting to escape from the CRS building after like it's closed. It's the perfect place to be.
Entire thing, this whole film could just fall apart if he just stood still.
Yeah, definitely. It wouldn't.
Literally, if he had stayed still, his entire game collapses.
I guess this was repeatedly kept sending Sean Penn to him. Yeah. Go make him do something else. Go convince him of something else. Go make him do something else.
Do something fun. Go, run.
You really have to think, when you think about it, the acting performance that Conrad Van Orten put on in the car with his brother, where he had all the keys and he was drunk and he was shouting at him. It's like, that's just a normal guy. And he's just playing this weird role of this, like, that's not real. It's a really strange scene when you think about it on reflection.
I just, from the second, like, I think I've only mentioned it, but from the second they said, like, your game started, I was thinking, like, this guy's involved. He's walked past. He's looked at him funny. He's involved.
Yeah.
The guy in the bathroom, as soon as he puts his hand underneath, it's like, if he gives him something, he's going to grab his hand or he's going to do something here, take a key.
So Chris has picked up my low point as well. That's another
What's that?
low point. I love a thriller mystery thing, right? And this film does it almost too well to such a degree that it's a low point for me.
What's that?
Because I'm suspicious of everybody. Huh?
Yeah.
Like, every single one's like, no, well, I know it's you. And then they try and double it. No, it's still you. Shut up. This is the part of the game. I know what you're doing. And it's such a problem for this film I have. Is it's too smart up to a point. Because then they fix it and then it really blows my mind.
I was thinking, it's like, his brother is fully in on it.
Yes.
And then the lawyer seems to kind of not be, because he phones
doesn't
him and says,
shit.
No, your money's fine.
Yeah.
So does this game only work with, like, single people? Like, say you had a wife and kids.
Well, he's got his lady
It's
friend,
like,
doesn't he? His ex-wife. Hi.
Yeah, ex-wife, but then she's the ex-wife, so she's a bit distant. So he does go to her. I don't think she was involved. No, she must be involved, because then our main man appears on the telly. Yeah, so I don't know if it works if you're, like, married with kids. You have to be this weird kind of single guy that has not many people that you could go as a sort of a constant. You don't have a constant. You don't have a totem to spin, like a wife and kids, because then you have to, basically, they have to threaten the wife and kids as part of the game. Otherwise, like, it doesn't work, you know?
I was going to say. Ah, it's gone now.
Fair enough. Next low point for me.
My overall low
All right,
point,
okay.
The whole thing is, there's absolutely no way that they could have perfectly planned absolutely everything.
Definitely not. It's always the problem with these films. It's
what if
always
he
the
runs
problem.
Left instead of right? He's fucked. What if he decided to take a header off the other side of the building?
Yes.
With nothing there?
Yes.
I'll put this, that's my absolute major low point. Is
not phone.
Is what happens if he jumps 5 feet to the right?
What if he decided, instead of jumping off, fucking shot himself in the face?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Conrad's lying there going, ah, shit, this is bad.
Like,
big time, isn't it?
Yeah, we know blanks can not always be there.
Yeah, exactly. And also, blanks are quite deadly, I'd imagine, as well. But yeah, and coupled with, what if he'd committed suicide in a different direction, never mind different way? Was the whole point of the game to be like, haha, your daddy jumped off roof and killed himself, we're going to make you do it too? Is that basically what the game is?
So this is my actual, like, I've got a lot of low points. This is my actual low point. Everything, it's top trump of low points here, right? You're not selling this film to me. I like the film, but every time you bring it up, you're right. This, like, I don't understand the game. This game seems sinister. It seems evil. And then the biggest thing is, right, the dad died on that date. I know what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you a game where you want to kill yourself like
that
your
date
dad
too.
did. It's proper dark.
The thing is, it's not on that date though, is it? Because he gets the present
people
at dinner. Yeah, it's mad.
You might as well just sit there having your dinner and then he comes flying through the ceiling going, oh, I fucking did it.
He did it.
It is.
Yeah, celebrate.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet he wasn't hungry. I was like, I know you just tried to top yourself. There was a massive spread for you to have. I was like, no, I'm
but then
really
don't
dead.
Worry. This is the one time they care about your safety. It's like, don't open your eyes. It can still cut you. It's like,
yeah.
You just fucking put me in a taxi in your bell ends. I might have not took that handle. I could have drowned.
They said there was swimmers in the river.
There wasn't. There were divers in the water. They did say. Yeah, she
who
said
would
that
have
when
thought?
She was like, when she explains. Everything's a setup, she explains. There's divers in the water, but then the film keeps going after that. So presumably there's still contingency. But I don't know what the contingency plan is for diving that direction instead of that direction. Like, unless it's just a giant inflatables around the whole block. Like, no matter what way it goes, they were black though. They weren't. They were black. It was black in the building or something.
And I'm like if I ever did it, right? If I ever jumped off the top of a building, I am running full pelt as far as I possibly can, just to see how far I can get. I'm not just going to do like a slight swan dive off.
Oh, five
and also, it's no
yeah.
point to try and land head first. Is that not the point of jumping off of things? Like, if you're like, I am going to kill myself, then you don't go,
yeah, you
well,
don't
I better go
land
legs first. Yeah,
back. Yeah,
or
that
the
was fucked
back.
up.
It's head first.
Yeah.
What they call it, taking a header. So
Yeah.
therefore, he landed head first on the giant cushion, which is going to be uncomfortable, I'd imagine.
Yeah, he simply swan dived onto maybe a 10 meter by 10 meter fucking thing. But if that was me, I'm running full pelt off that building. I'm clearing that fucker.
I quite honest, I'm taking people with me. Like, what does it matter? Like,
he's now just like paraplegic. Well, that's just some game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Happy.
No, just the darkness of them doing it on the same, like his age, like the
battle. Yeah, yeah. It's this bad. Year we'll do it. Yeah. But then at one point, somebody, I don't know if it's Sean Penn or at the offices, they say the point of the game is to work out what the game is, but also it's to give you that. Everybody needs to find out what it is that's missing. They need to get that thing, what is missing. I said, what? It's his suicidal tendencies. That's what's missing from his life, is the need to kill himself. a bad message. How long do you think Nicholas lives after the end of the game? Do you think he's gone in 5 years?
In 4 years, we're walking past him. He looks all right here. I'm watching you, pal.
Reinforce the windows. small low points. I'll just talk to them very quickly. He goes to the hotel room to find it's like intentionally all set up, like it's, I don't know, drugs and all that sort of stuff. And then decides, I'm going to bleed all over this. Like, I don't understand. Films, things happen in films where, oh, I'm in this place. I need to panic, smash stuff and bleed all over it, which is a terrible idea. But that doubled with the fact that he just hurts himself on everything the entire way through the film. Catching fingers, burning his fingers on lamps, cutting himself open. He seems to always hurt himself the entire way through the film. But the fourth time it happened, like, for God's sake, stop touching everything.
He's in Mexico. He picked up with like cuts all over himself. But did he just like change his clothes or just beat the shit out of him and be like, enjoy this? Yeah.
It's been shipped to Mexico across the border in some van. It's not gone very well. And the last thing is how depressing the zoo was at San Francisco that he went to. A very sad looking zoo.
Yeah, I know. There's no fucking grass. It's just fucking a cage.
And it's like, talking about 10 meter by 10 meter. That's what the lions or tigers were living in, 10 meters by 10 meters.
Fucking loving it. The kids were like, yeah, it's a lion or a tiger.
Nah, depressing zoo. Any more low points?
No.
I think we've said our bit, I think. Point four, the stats. What statistics have we kept this week? 6 shits, 32 F-bombs. There were quite a lot of F-bombs. And I think 0 explosions. I think one thing exploded in the entire film. They got a couple of buildings that shot up, but nothing exploded. Deaths, just one. All the rest were fake. Father Van Orten, his dad killing himself, which is in the film. Mm-hmm. That happened. Every other death was a fake death in the film. So just the one. Cows and goats, I've got none, but I may have missed them in the Mexico part. It's the only bit where he's walking around anywhere that would be wildlife that isn't in the zoo. So I can't remember any. I think no cows, no goats, and no dead animals either. And I think we're free from paedophiles in the film as well. None of them creeping around. Tom Cruise, Taco Berry, Sarah Connor, trifecta, no motorcycle once again, but Michael Douglas did everything else. And then the only other one I've got before saying the thing is when the phone call was that I thought was the start of the game, but it wasn't the start of the game. So did they say the thing? Did they say the game? Those two words.
8 times.
Oh, 6 times. Plus an additional 9 games, just the word game before without the. So game was 15 and the game was 6. Chris, any stats from you?
I count games. So he plays racquetball by himself. And they talk about that is it. 2 games.
That is it.
It was 2 like,
games. And then the game.
At the start, I generally thought at the birthday party, surely they'll play games here. No. You just sit there stuffing their faces with cake. There was no games at all.
Who the fuck plays a game at a birthday party? Yeah, what you're going.
What's the fuck? It's all play birthday party. Play games.
I think, yeah, most of the time. Yeah.
No, I want to play games on my birthday. I want to get pissed. Mind you.
Yeah, when you're an adult, yes.
That's not when you get pissed. Explainable.
Andy, do you have a fun fact about the game?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, luckily I've got one.
Good, because I looked. There was nothing fun. Other than
fun, well, on that note, Jodie Foster was originally signed up to play Michael Douglas's sibling in the film. It wasn't Sean Penn, it was meant to be Jodie Foster. However, she changed her mind and wanted to play Michael Douglas's daughter instead, which is a bit strange, okay. David Fincher and Michael Douglas were opposed to this change, so it was Sean Penn instead. Foster promptly sued PolyGram for $54.5 million, even though her Egg Pictures production company was part of the production of the film, the matter was settled out of court. Michael Douglas, who's a personal friend of Jodie Foster, said it didn't seem right for him to play Foster's father, given that, quote, there is only 18 years age difference between the two of them. ironically, Michael Douglas played Jodie Foster's guardian in 1972's Napoleon and Samantha when they were at the beginning of their film careers. So he has played it before, but apparently now, I'm 18 years older for you. You're too old for me to be your parent. So Jodie Foster was meant to be Sean Penn's character in this film until she changed her mind. Point five on the podcast is the 10-point podcast quiz. Andy, you are the quiz master. Over to you.
Strap in. I had a lot of ideas here.
Well, it's a game, isn't it? So.
Well, I'm hoping my brain has worked perfectly.
So, one of my things was, I'm going to make you play a game. I was like, right, that's a bit too soy. But then I thought, right, let's just play a proper game. So, I was going to play Battleships. But I thought that's not going to make good video or good audio video. So I've decided.
And also, it could take a while, really.
So, however, decided to do a quiz called It's Time to Play the Game.
Ooh, okay.
And it's a quiz about games.
Right.
So who wants to go first?
I think it's my turn. Yeah, it's my turn.
Right, okay. Bruce gets the easiest one of the lot.
Yeah.
Bruce, which board game do you buy and sell property?
I would say Monopoly would be that
it
board
is.
Game.
Yes.
Yay.
Right. Don't worry, Chris. You got an easy one too. And which board game do you try to solve a murder?
Ooh.
A Cluedo.
I'll give you it. I would have also accepted Clue.
Clue is the other one.
Depends which part of the world you're in, but I'll give you it.
I don't know why they've added Do on or taken Do off to that
Clue
game.
Would
but
fun, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know which. Yeah.
Right. Gets a little bit harder, Bruce. Rooks and bishops are part of which game?
Chess.
It is chess, yes. Chris, it's a throwback to the previous question. Who invented also Monopoly?
Oh,
Hasbro.
And your name, the guy.
The guy with the top hat and the tash, isn't it? He invented Monopoly.
Give me a name, Chris.
Mr. Monopoly, that was him.
Not John Hasbro. Chris.
Peter Goldsmith.
No, it was a Charles Darwin. So,
theory of evolution.
You said standard things, right?
General knowledge, that's all.
Anyway, do you think airless? Fuck's sake. Bruce, how many wedges do you have to collect in Trivial Pursuit to win?
I think it's six.
It is six, yes, it is.
Yeah.
Right. Chris, which company manufactured the game Kinect 4?
Ooh.
Only ever stuck in my head is Hasbro.
You going for Hasbro? It is Hasbro, I'll give you it.
Is it? Okay.
It's Hasbro. Right. Bruce. We're going back to the famous game Monopoly.
Ooh.
Is banned in which country?
Right. It is banned in which country? Let's go China.
There's a caveat to this question before you answer. Okay. It's rumored to be banned in this country.
Ah, well, if it's rumored,
it's
that changes
it. Banned, but it's famously rumored to be banned.
Right. Well, I've already given an answer. Do I stick with that? If it's rumored to be banned, it's hard to know. So let's go North Korea.
North Korea is wrong. Christian, trying to do a steal?
Australia.
No, it was Spain.
Randomly.
Spain, of all places.
Very strange. I wonder why.
Right. Where did I go?
Chris first.
Right. Chris. What is the name of a boxed collection of games? So if you have a selection of games, so the games are multiple versions of the game. It's so like Catan, there's multiple versions of it, and like even Monopoly, there's multiple versions of it. If you were on all of them, what do you call that?
Right,
A
okay.
variety. It's not a variety.
Is it one word or are you looking for more
It's
than one
one
word? Can
word.
I ask? It is one word, right. I am going to say, is that a set?
Nope, it's a compendium.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Compendium. Right,
What do you know?
where am I going? Where am I going?
Me first.
Bruce. What is the ultimate objective of chess?
Is it to take your opponent's king?
Need a
Is that
little
what
bit
it is
more
to
wording. Can you elaborate on the wording? You're
to
close.
get one of your pieces to wherever your opponent's king is and to share the same
But
square
what do
as
you
the
call it when you win?
Oh, checkmate.
Yeah,
Checkmate.
you
Right, okay.
checkmate your opponent's king, I'll give
All
you.
right, okay. Thank you.
If you got that, I'll literally go say to checkmate. No, it's checkmate on the answer.
No, he said the king.
He was fishing
yeah.
around the
I
answer.
thought he was looking for a description of it rather than the
Right.
term.
We'll go back an easy question, Chris. Which board game is played with tiles and has letters on them?
Scrabble.
Scrabble, yes, there you go. There you go. I was going
Chris,
to be
playing
bold
now.
Scrabble as soon as you said tiles, but I thought I'd wait.
Yeah.
It's fucked me before. Bruce, what is the game checkers known as in the UK? Oh.
Drafts?
Yes, traps, yeah.
Drafts. For a second, I was panicking because I was like, that is what they call it. And I'm like, no, it's not. That's the other one. So.
Right. Chris. How many characters is there in the original Guess Who that were female?
Oh,
16. You're going for 16 females.
no, I'm going to go for 12 females.
You're going for 12
12,
females.
stick with 12.
Wrong, Bruce.
I thought you said 16. Sorry, guys.
15.
You're going for? No,
15.
there's only five.
Oh, okay.
It's
Five.
only five.
Five
Why?
teams in the original. There's only five females.
I swear there's more
Well, maybe it wasn't the
than
original you played.
that. Where were we? What scores?
I'm up two, and it's my question.
Right, Bruce. Going back to the old. No, we're not.
Is it Monopoly again?
It's
Is
not. Which board game? Oh, fucking hell! Fuck myself here.
it?
Which
Oh
board game's name is a synonym of peril?
a synonym of peril, did you
Yes,
say?
apparently.
Like
Apparently.
what you find at the middle of an oyster, or whatever you call it.
No, that's a different spelling.
Oh, peril is in danger. I am in great peril. Is that
Yes.
what it? Right, okay. That's a pronunciation question rather than a
Yeah.
peril.
There's a word cinnamon that fucked
Risk.
me. Risk,
Risk.
yes, risk, yes, you've got that. Right. Do I have to go around one more time, or is that it?
No, Bruce is done.
Chris has a question, but he can't
Right, Chris
win.
has a
So.
question. We'll go back to our old favourite board game. What is the maximum number of players that you can have in a game of Monopoly, Chris?
Is there a maximum? I didn't know there was
There is a
one.
maximum. Rules tell rules.
Oh, obviously six. There's six pieces, I think.
Six. You think there's six pieces? You're
Yeah.
wrong, Bruce.
Is it four?
Nope.
Five.
Eight.
Oh. Eight, can you?
Eight people
Right.
can play Monopoly at one time.
Jeez. I mean that sounds reasonable, but I don't think you'd ever get eight people at the one time who want to play
Well, there you
Monopoly.
go. I
Like
had fucking Xbox games in my head here. I was waiting for Master Chief or time to play the
something
game.
to pop up.
Board games.
Yeah.
Bruce dominated board games.
I want the board games, despite the fact I don't really play them. I play them like once a year, and that's like Christmas Eve, basically, is where I play board games.
I've
Point
been.
six on the podcast is movies within movies. Chris, have you been deeping dively into the 10-point podcast universe?
Have excuse me, that was horrendous. So, I'm not going deep dive, but I have done a dive. So, apparently, Spike Jonze or Jones,
Jones.
who
Spike
was
Jones.
an airbag AMT Belgian, whatever the fuck
He
that
was.
means, he was in Being John Malkovich as Mantini's assistant.
He was, yes. He will come up later, Spike Jones.
Okay, not me. So Yuji Okamoto who was the hotel manager. He was an exception as Saito's assistant.
He was. I had him as a hotel receptionist, the guy who was like, oh, hello again, sir. Yeah. I had him as him rather than the manager. I think he was the receptionist, but maybe he was a manager.
Okay. Elizabeth Dennehy, spoiler, Brian Dennehy's daughter. She was Maria, is that the kind of hot assistant that came in and went, happy birthday?
Could be right, yeah. What was she in? I saw her, but didn't have her on my list. What was she in before?
Total Recall, Renata.
Ah, so she's the Total Recall crossover with this film then. Right, okay.
As previously mentioned, Deborah Kara Unger, who was Christine, she was in Silent Hill as Dahlia. That blew my freaking mind, that.
When I saw Silent Hill, I was like, oh my God.
Sean Penn as Conrad, he was going to be in John Malkovich as Sean Penn.
That's Sean Penn, yeah. He's the one that when Malkovich is possessed by the puppeteer, and Malkovich becomes a famous puppeteer, Sean Penn starts to kind of try and become a puppeteer as well because there's like fame in it and all that. He plays like a parody of himself, basically, Sean Penn at that point. So he's funny.
And Michael Douglas, I've got Nicholson for some reason, he's Nicholas. I knew I'd done him before, but for life, I couldn't figure out what it was. He was in Fallen Down, his defense.
He was, yes. Is that it for Michael Douglas? So, because it's not. Because I was like, Michael Douglas, to me, Michael Douglas is a 10-point podcast favorite. And I was like, oh, I'm glad we're doing Michael Douglas again because he was good in Falling Down. And I'm like, but he's surely Hall of Fame eligible. And I was like, what else was he in? Haywire. It was the first Michael Douglas film we did.
Yeah.
It was our first. Yeah, he was like, he was the handler in Haywire, I think. So yeah, we've done him before. He is now Hall of Fame eligible, and I'm happy with that because we do seem to randomly late Michael Douglas on. Yeah.
What the hell happened here? Since we've talked about Hall of Fame, what the fuck does that say? Mark Boone Jr., who was the PI, jump at event blah, 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 7. He was an FBI guy.
Yes.
Your inexplicable, whatever it is meant to say Batman Begins.
I did, that's next go.
Oh, right, okay.
It's not somebody else. It's just a bunch of letters.
I've only had him as Batman Begins 7 and this for Mark Boone Jr. Hall of Fame eligibility, though.
Sons of Anarchy alumni, Tommy Flanagan, was also in Braveheart and Face Off.
Yeah.
Yes. This was, I think he probably had less screen time in this one than the others. But it's Tommy Flanagan as being Tommy Flanagan. That's being a crazy... He very much literally has one of those faces that you remember. Yeah.
Club, that's why he's got the scars.
Yeah.
Is that you, Spent? He's taking a drink, so I'm going to assume that he is. The artist that plays Elizabeth, we've done her before. Anna Katavarina. She was in Batman Returns, not Batman Begins, Batman Returns, as Poodle Lady. And I recognize the guy who was... Pardon?
I said the Poodle Lady, I remember her.
Right, okay, remember her? Wish Batman Returns. John Cassini, who was the man in the airport, who I thought I recognized him before. He's also the guy who has the bill at the end, by the way. The guy who's looking at him funny in the airport is the one who has the bill to be paid. He was in 7, so he must have been some role I remember from that. There's probably about 3 or 4 others are also in 7, along with Mark Boone Jr. as well. But the other one is Jack Kehoe. He was one of the 2 detectives that show up when they go to the empty office to see that CRS is not there anymore. Who turned out they're actually in on it as well. He was in Falling Down, which is a nice Michael Douglas crossover. But the other detective, Christopher John Fields, he's Hall of Fame eligible because he was in Jurassic Park as nothing too important. But he played Rains in Alien 3 as well. So he actually had a character name that I remember being in my notes from that film. So I think 4 Hall of Fame eligible people coming out the back of the game, which I did not anticipate. I thought this was a Douglas-only situation here. I did not know the others were coming. Chris, have you recast the 3 of us into roles in the film?
So, I put you as Conrad, Bruce.
Me too.
Oh, sweet. So, I put myself as the guy pooping in the bathroom.
That's a good place to do it.
It was going
to
be him until Nicholas threw a hissy fit with the briefcase and started smashing it against a chair. And I was like, yeah, that's Andrew. When shit doesn't go his way, he is going to bust the fucking shit out of it.
So I put me as Conrad because I picked this film this week And it's Andy's birthday, and this is my gift to him, that he gets to watch the game. So he's Nicholas. This is my gift to you, Andy, that you got to watch the game this week. And everything that's happened in the last, so how long was the film? 3 days? Has been a part of a game, and you have won the game. Well done, Andy. Chris, you were like the attorney guy who was kind of not in on it, because I could find any other way to put
I would
it.
almost find gold. I just kept walking down with chippies for Chris in the last 3 days. Bastard, I had to get some chips the other day.
Well, there you go. That was why I cast him. Movie references. This references a lot of films, but the whole time I couldn't get out of my head that this film is just Ebenezer Scrooge and Total Recall smooshed into one. It's like if Ebenezer Scrooge went to Total Recall and were given this, it's like grumpy old rich man needs to right his wrongs. So is he actually in a movie or not actually in a movie like Total Recall? That's kind of how I felt. This does the film reference The Wizard of Oz? It does. We're back.
Yeah.
He mentions going to meet the wizard and pull back the curtain and meet the wizard. Mm-hmm. In the film when he goes to CRS. So yes, it does indeed reference The Wizard of Oz. Could have come out in 1995, it was supposed to, but David Fincher changed over from doing this to doing Seven instead when Brad Pitt became available to be in Seven. So he decided, I'll do Seven first and I'll make the game afterwards. So they were supposed to come out the other way around. Well, it's also with the Jodie Foster stuff.
Mortal Kombat.
It did, you're right, lots of films. Dead Man Walking. Well, Sean Penn was in Dead Man Walking, so I guess he's Dead Man Walking. Other than that, I never expected anyone else to be dead at any point throughout. I was always like, yeah, that's you're not going to die because it's all fake. Who's in the wrong movie? Deborah Kara Unger. Why is she in this movie? Why wasn't a famous actress put into this role?
Sandra Bullock.
That was maybe said Sandra Bullock. It's screaming out for like Sharon Stone, but you can't do Michael Douglas Sharon Stone again. any other ideas?
No. Shut up.
But yeah, definitely not her. Like I say, Sharon Stone would have been perfect, but Basic Instinct had just come out, so it needs something different. But she never amounted to anything and wasn't really in anything else much.
Pump somebody a drink.
Yeah, you're right. Movie trope that needs to die from this film. I don't know if I've got a trope that needs to die from this film. Has anyone got one that jumps to mind? Then I'll see if I can.
People have everything perfectly planned out where there's no mistakes happening at all.
Yeah.
People jump off the building.
No wild cards.
Yeah, it's definitely that. It's like, oh, the whole thing was planned from the very beginning and not one little step you ever took wasn't expected. It's like, nah. Yeah. So yeah, that needs to die. Is that your one as well, Andy? Yeah?
No, mine's just kind of like the hot female that you're attracted to and then she fucks you over and then you go with her in the end anyway.
Yeah. It's a bit of a kind of eye-rolling kind of, okay, she did actually feel that way, but I mean, it's very rich.
You can't even trust her. Like, any exactly. Coffee, she hands to you, oh, I would have respect. Sip it first, please.
0.7 on the podcast, that one thing, what is the one thing? Well, for me, it's the white rabbit playing in the graffiti house. That's the one thing, and it never will change, I don't think. Chris, what's your one thing?
Swan dive. Whee! Yeah. Swan dive into a beanbag.
Yeah, probably the kind of triple twist ending might be it. Or even just it's that. That and the white rabbit. Whenever I hear that song, I think about that scene for some reason. 0.8 on the podcast is the nominations for the 10-Point Podcast Awards. Chris, lead us off. We will debate.
You could be following a lot here, by the way.
Bearing in mind, Chris, it is 10 to 11 at night. So just keep that in mind.
Okay, best actor, Michael Douglas.
Yes.
Okay. Worst actor, Sean Penn. Yep.
I don't have a nominee, but I thought he was all right.
Best support, I put James Reborn.
Definitely, yes. He would have been the Minuteman, which is my new thing I'm going for, but he's in it too much, so he can't be the Minuteman.
Best team, the CRS team. Yeah.
Yes, undoubtedly. Everybody, all 100 of them, whatever it is, 400 of them.
Best death is Conrad's death, because I didn't see it coming.
Best fake death, I guess. Yeah, you're probably right, yeah.
Best plan is the game. It's absolutely flawless.
Yeah, worked to perfection. Normally we're like, it would have been, it's still a good plan if only this thing hadn't happened or if only John McClane wasn't in the air ducts and all that. This plan worked.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Even plan for a real gun.
Yeah.
The guy had the Teflon. Teflon, whatever it's called. Worst Teflon. Plan is making it too fucking real.
I guess it maybe is. Yeah.
Life decision to have the rest of his life now.
Making that man kill himself, that's the worst plan. Yeah. Like for his birthday. Way.
Happy birthday. Suicide yourself. Best twist.
It's either him shooting Conrad or him killing himself.
I think it's what I've written down here is the fake real ending, which I don't know what I mean by that, but I think when he shoots Conrad, it feels like, oh my God, the film has built up to this point and he's fallen for the whole thing and he's accidentally killed his brother. And then
it's
that's part
him
of it.
Suiciding.
Yeah, but I don't know. Him killing himself is not a twist, I think.
I've
the twist is he shot his brother.
Here as the best twist.
Yeah.
So,
but then is that the twist? Is that the best twist? Is it, oh, he shot Conrad? Or the twist that was catered into the plan as well? I don't know. The roof scene in this film is best twist. The game itself is the best twist, yeah.
Okay, so Diane John Jones, I'll be Tom Flanagan. Nope, and Mark Brown Jr.
I've got Spike Jones as Danny John Jules.
Maybe he wins it.
Right. Can I put in Minuteman here then?
Yeah, go on.
I've got Tommy Flanagan because he's sensational in the taxi. I don't think he's on screen for any more than a minute. Then he comes back in the canteen.
He's the homeless guy as he walks past into the airport. But he's probably got less than a minute of screen time. So.
Yeah. So therefore, I propose Mark Boone Jr. It might be the Minuteman because him in the scene in the car is funny, and then him being in the canteen and being like, they're running, it's hilarious. But I think Tommy Flanagan is the minute man. He does the best with his 1 minute, I think, Tommy Flanagan.
So, best entrance is Nick's entering his birthday party.
Yes, undoubtedly. Yeah. Through the roof, coming in. That's it.
Best product placement, I put Baskin Robbins.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly. Absolutely. Here's a big billboard.
I've ever seen of just a truck driving past.
No reason for it whatsoever. It's just flat out, how much money can we get off Baskin Robbins here? That's all that scene is for.
And finally, best stunt, him falling to the roof. Yeah.
Fair enough. What have we not hit on here? I think best character name, Nicholas Van Orton. You know what you're getting with Nicholas Van Orton. It works. Best plan we've done. Best song, I'm going White Rabbit. It's the only song in the film, but it sticks out to me. It's also a bit of a banger. I've done best supporting and the twist. Biggest bell end. Is Nicholas Van Orton the biggest bell end? I think he is.
No, he's a loner. No. His brother's
a dick to people.
I think his brother's the biggest bell end because he could
you're right. Yeah. Yes.
There's one stage where he's like, he's worried about his employees' pension and stuff like that. He's like, what about all these?
Yeah.
Like, he does care.
It's not his money.
Yeah. His brother seems to catch it, just like, oh, fuck him. Let's put him through hell.
Yeah. And then he pays millions
for
the experience. Oh, thank you for that.
Yeah,
thank you for driving me to suicide. I will pay half of whatever this million-pound bill is. Yeah.
I will pay you to kill yourself.
I've done that one. I have a nominee for the Chewbacca Award here. And you can tell me I'm wrong. I'm prepared to be told it's wrong. Chewbacca Award. Him being able to have a conversation with the news anchor on the telly. Make that make sense to me.
Sure.
Because either he's
stuff like that, and it was maybe like real time as well, but it wasn't.
Yeah, so it's not a videotape.
Yeah.
Because he has a conversation with them. It's not live having a conversation with them because that guy's presumably doing the news at that time. So unless there's another news broadcast being done by a different newscaster at the same time, but then why wouldn't Michael Douglas be surprised? Oh, why is it not what do you call the normal guy?
A newscaster, like a national newscaster, just to talk to one person.
Exactly, as well.
That's why I went Chewbacca.
That's my Chewbacca award. I don't think it makes sense. Worst father figure, Nick Van Orton's dad.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is a shout for best Danny John Jules, the guy who played his dad was Charles Martinet,
Mario.
The voice of Mario.
Last week,
he did.
That's why I know so well. It's amazing.
It's unexpected. Let's go.
That'll be this film even better. Oh. I'm going, let's go.
Do you want to know a fun story about him?
Yes.
Right. I'm about to get done for libel, however, it's a fact.
Okay. Well, it's a fact, right? Okay.
It's a fact. So he did a show for us, right? And security had to take his medication away. We'll call it medication. Oh, however, if you Google him,
I'm not part of this. I'm
okay. If you Google him, what he did before he went into Nintendo was took a lot of speed.
Oh, really? Okay.
And ecstasy at the same time, and then just rattled off all the Mario lines.
Ah, okay.
However, later on, he actually does a live YouTube thing where he does it normally, but apparently on his original edition, that's what he did.
I and then see.
At one of the shows we did, we found some gear
yeah.
on his
some of his medication.
We had to flush it down the toilet to save him from jail time.
Okay, let's see. But yeah, I don't think, because I had to find that out via the cast
list, we're fine. We're safe.
I don't think it works as unexpected. And my final nominee, worst twist, is that Christine the waitress works for CRS, which is absolutely obvious that she works for CRS. It was on product placement. Point 9, moral of the story. What lesson were we supposed to learn from the game? Andy, what's your moral of the story?
Never play a fucking game. I say don't play games. Don't play
I've got thought, I went, don't try new things, is what I think the moral of the story is from this one.
People different is don't accept a cup of coffee from some random stranger.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Get to know someone before you let them make a drink.
To be clear, like, there's something happened during this podcast. I've been messaging somebody. So I got a gift, like a condolence gift, and it was a big box of popcorn.
Okay.
It got a letter in it saying, sorry for your condolences. It had no name on it. I started eating the popcorn, not knowing who it was from.
Oh.
But it's supposed to show you, if you get a parcel, you just trust it, don't you?
That's for me.
I get passed out and end up in a fucking coffin in Mexico.
I mean, I did say we'd set the game up for you this week, Andy. So,
he's having his way with me right now. Considering where it was from at the time.
We'll keep the cameras on as long as possible. Right, point 10 is the 10-point rating before we go completely off the rails here. We rate the film out of 10. Chris hadn't seen it, he goes last, and I had picked it, so I go first. And genuinely, I just got a bit boring. It needed more interesting things to happen, or it needed to have more of the interesting bits. I feel like some of the interesting, exciting stuff was condensed into about 10 seconds rather than what it could have been a couple of minutes. Plinky Plonky Piano, I wasn't as passionately about it as Andy was, but it makes the first half of the film a bit kind of a drag. And it's not like, ooh, I really wonder what's going on. It's like, I want to see what's going on rather than wonder about it. So I give it a 5 out of 10, which is a big markdown from where I scored it prior. But a 5 out of 10. Andy?
Right. This has got an absolute banger of a concept. This is going to be a long review. Absolute banger of a concept. However, I did state that every single time that Blinky Blonky music came on, it lost a point. Okay?
Oh, within the negatives then, all right.
So, I love the concept. How it's executed is done very well. The music really took me out of the film. However, there's a perfect analogy to this film. Once this film finished on the streaming service I watched, it came up with a recommendation. Now, when I first watched the first half of this film, it was up there. It was pretty good. I would be about 6 or 7. The music this time around has brought it really down. However, there is one film, and it's a recent film, don't get me wrong, but when I finished the film, it says, films like this that have done it better, right? Mm. And I think this film has done it better. And if the first recommendation, you watch this film, you want to go straight into this film, and it's a recent film, and it has done it 1,000 times better, Saw X.
Saw X.
It is the newest Saw.
Hmm.
It is the
exact, I guess it is.
It's the exact concept nailed. So for that
reason,
the Plinky Plonky music brought it down. And then when I seen the Saw X, I was like, that's what he was going for. This is nailed. He's been screwed. He's played the game. This is what it should be. So this film now gets a 1.
Yeah. I think it's more Total Recall than it is Saw X, but I do see where you're coming from.
Yeah, no, Chris, Saw X, I was just like, I'm all in. Saw X, Tobin Bell.
So this, on the Andy scale, the game is worse than Goodfellas officially.
Yep.
Chris, what's your score? On first viewing, Chris, what is yours?
3.
A 3?
I was bored out of my fucking mind until like an hour and a half when she starts to I'm pretty sure when he starts getting drugged, and he ends up in Mexico and be like, oh, they've actually ruined this guy's life. Mexico has nothing to do with the game.
Mexico is the point where I like this film. And like I said, it gets a one, but this, it gets going then.
That's when I started to take notice, and I was like, oh, the Vash is, it's not to do with the game. They just want his money.
Yeah.
They've ruined his life, and then he's fucked in Mexico. And then he's just snapped.
Hence, so
and it's a revenge tour now.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that's when it piqued my interest. Yeah. But that first hour and a half is brutal to watch.
It is. It's long.
A 3 out of 10 is official. Chris has nailed it. Apparently, the 10-point podcast review score is a 3 out of 10.
That's how you play the game.
I've got a theme going. The game and last week, what did I pick in the end?
Hitman.
Well, last time, Hitman.
Contracts.
What are
games?
It is neither of those things. You each get a guess more. Games is where I was baiting you to go. So thanks for taking it, Chris.
That's
so,
a higher power, like an Illuminati,
Like an unseen kind of
like
thing in the background.
Power, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's not that.
What's your first guess? Do you say conspiracies?
No, I say
conspiracies.
It's not conspiracies either. No. What was your
first guess?
What was your first guess? Games and.
You know, these.
Was it Hitmen?
No.
We'll go back on the tape.
Because...
You didn't say it, I'll tell you that much. So that's it for my next pick, which hopefully I'll get to pick what I wanted to pick at the start of the season. Next time on the podcast, pick a Destiny time where we put our heads together.
Happy
and come
boys.
Up with a... And I can't believe we are at episode 140, whatever it is, 150 something, I guess. That's probably more than that now, probably 170 odd. Before we picked this film, 1984's sci-fi comedy, starring more 10-point podcast favourites, Sigourney Weaver, Dan Aykroyd, I think they're favourites over here, along with Bill Murray, and many, many, many others. The original Ghostbusters from 1984.
Yeah, boy.
Well overdue before we watch this classic. I will be seeing Ghostbusters, whatever it is called, in the next week as well, I imagine. The newest one.
I'm gonna double review it.
Double review it. So there we go. I bet everyone's got it on DVD.
Come and send it tomorrow.
DVD, VHS, dust them off, find whatever streaming service has got it on at the moment, and get ready. Because busting makes us feel very good, doesn't it, lads? So, 1984, you've all got 7 days, hopefully. If not, it'll be out there at some point soon to watch Ghostbusters. And we'll see you next time on the 10-point podcast.